Pastor, are you crazy? You see, I'm crazy enough to believe that God can still teach a 55-year-old preacher new ways to reach more people. I'm crazy enough. I am crazy enough to think God can teach a 20-year-old church to reinvent itself for His sake and for the sake of 20,000 lost souls. I am crazy enough to think the devil meant Remingtons for evil and God meant it for good. I am crazy enough to use anything from country music to rap, from car shows to style shows, from conferences to conventions, from Monday night football to a Friday night coffee house, from trade shows to art shows, from contests to clogging, if it will put us closer to people who need Jesus and earn us a hearing for the gospel. I think I'm crazy. I would rather be accused of being drunk than being dead. I would rather try and fail than to play it safe and rot inside. I pray God will make me crazy like Noah, who built an ark when there was no water falling, Abraham, who went out not knowing where he was going, Gideon, who fought an army with 300 men, David, who went up against a giant, Peter, who walked on water, Paul, who turned the world upside down, and Jesus, who died on the cross for the sins of the world. The time is too short, the need is too great, the opportunities are too large for us to play it safe. Let's get crazy for Christ.
Oh, the years go by. I'm not a 55-year-old preacher anymore. I caught that. There's a lot of reasons that I believe in God. Truly, there are. One of those reasons is because of how God works so well over time. How God begins to put things in place before they are needed, because God is God and He knows what lies ahead. In 2008, when He put it into our hearts to purchase this facility, no one other than God knew that on the 28th day of August in the next year, 10 months later, Hurricane Katrina would crash like thunder into our southern coast. And yet God knew. And these doors and this facility, we were ready. And you saw it on the screen. I thank God for that. Today, we look at a similar kind of story, but this time a story where God began working at least 13 years earlier, and I would suggest earlier than that, to bring something about in His timing. And I have my Bible, and if you have a Bible or something that you can read from, you can turn with me to the 50th chapter of the book of Genesis. The 50th chapter is the final chapter, and in this chapter we find that Jacob has died. They've had his funeral. Joseph is in a place of great authority in Egypt because God started on time and took His time to do exactly what He wanted to do. Now his brothers, who sold him into slavery, some wanted him dead. His brothers now fear for their lives now that Daddy is gone. And they put together a plan. I'm in Genesis chapter 50. I want you to look again in verse 20, where the scripture says, "You meant it for evil. God meant it for good." In the video, you heard me say this: Satan meant this facility for evil. And many of you were here when it was built in 1997. I turned to Jeff Steele. And Jeff, I ask you, tell us about this facility before it was redeemed. Tell us in words that are appropriate for all ages. Tell us about this facility during those first 7 years.
Well, Remington's did operate as Missouri's largest nightclub for 7 years, and during that 7 years, it endured 8 lawsuits. I've talked to numerous law enforcement. As late as this morning, one of the individuals that helps with traffic was reminding me again about his experiences here and coming in and dealing with the violence that was here. But, you know, I've had the privilege of meeting a young woman who experienced violent crime personally and came back to put it to rest during a small group time whenever we first acquired the property. And we've had innumerable opportunities to meet people that have been here in the days previous, in its previous incarnation. Interestingly enough, the columns as you walked in this morning have been redone just in the last week because they actually had a little bit of a flashback. About 3 years into this operating as a nightclub, an individual actually drove under the influence of alcohol into a group of people and put 17 people in the hospital there in that space that you walked in between. And just about a month ago, someone similarly drove in, but there was no one there at Friday night late, and so they just drove into the column and knocked all of the tile off, and so we've had to replace that tile. That wasn't expected at all whenever we started, but thankfully your faithfulness through this capital campaign, it allowed us to get it put back together before you got here. We've had tremendous opportunities. A man lost his life to security here in the building and was drug outside. And I'm just reminded of those specters from the past on a regular basis, but it operated in that capacity and was remarkably effective in its capacity. Actually, officers say that this was a major source of methamphetamine distribution in southwest Missouri because of the ease of traffic to get over to 44 off the West Bypass or to jump onto James River Expressway and get up to 65. The first 6 months that we actually had the property, it wasn't uncommon for us to go out at least 2 or 3 times a week and find drug paraphernalia in the east lot up here. Thankfully, that's all dried up and gone now, but it wasn't uncommon at all. Although I saw Clint Copeland came in with a Budweiser bottle earlier, and he said that someone had left it out on the lot. So we still have those experiences from time to time. It's definitely sanctified ground, but still used by a community at large.
It is. And I want to say again that according to what I believe God would say to us is from the beginning, Satan had a plan. And I want to tell you something. I think you know it, but I want to make sure that you know it. Satan has a plan for every one of our lives right now. He does have a plan, and we don't have to wonder what it is because the Bible teaches us, Jesus himself said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief, I think he's talking about our adversary, our accuser, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his plan. But I stand before you to say we serve a living God, and he's got a better plan.
Amen.
And what Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. Jesus also said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And there are those in our culture that believe that life is found in a bottle. It is not. There are those in our culture that believe that life is found in a substance. It is not. There are those in our culture that believe that life is found in a multitude of relationships. It is not. Listen, eternal life is to know God and his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he sent. That is life. That is life. And that is what God has. A phrase that we have used over the years related to Remington's and Ridgecrest is that we have made an uncommon commitment to the common good. I wish it were not uncommon. I wish that that was common for every Christian and every church. We are the light of the world. I don't say that with arrogance. I say that with deep humility. Jesus is the light of the world, but he said to us, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light unto all the house. Let your light so shine that they may see your what?
Good works.
Come on, church, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. At Remington's, we've made an uncommon commitment to the common good. A man named Reggie McNeil impacted my life with one of his books about the future of the church and some of the questions that would have to be addressed and some of the things that would have to change. And he said something like this: the church of the future will build a building for the community and use it for the church. See, we've done it differently since 300 AD. We've done it differently. We've built for the church, and maybe we would be a blessing in some small way to the community. When we purchased Remington's, it was with the absolute commitment that this facility, when redeemed by Jesus Christ, could positively impact all of our community and all of our metropolitan area, and I think, in some measure, all of America. And I thank God for that. What Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. Andy, I want to ask you a question. I want you to tell us, when I talk about the good that God has done here in the last 7 years, what is the most powerful image that comes to your mind?
I would have to say the ice storm that happened, what was that, in 2007? Seven? And actually, before I go on with that story, because I want something just to resonate in your mind a little more, can we take off part A of that verse and put up the next slide? Because this is so much more exciting. Oh, thank you so much. It was glaring at me, and I was like, yeah, Satan, you need to, I'm tired of giving him time, so let's move on to the God stuff here. Think about this. The ice storm in 2007, when so many of us were out of power, no way to get heat in the homes, and I mean, all sorts of different people, different socioeconomic backgrounds. It didn't matter, did it? It didn't matter what neighborhood you lived in, whether or not you had power. It may have mattered whether or not you got power back quicker. I don't know. We can argue that, right? But for the most part, the power knocked out. I mean, people were just hopeless, were losing food, losing heat, all sorts of stuff like that. This is what's so amazing. At that time, there was a retirement care facility that had lost their power. And they called over to Ridgecrest. And at that time, Remington's was without power. And Ridgecrest, being on a totally different electric grid for Battlefield, had power. And so they said, can we use your facility for all these people who need that kind of medication and all the stuff done? And we said, absolutely. Come on in. Put them in the fellowship center. And as you guys well remember, they were there for quite some time. Well, it's interesting because that very next day, a ton of people moved into Jordan Valley, what's now Mediacom Ice Park, and they all moved in, set up their cots, everything got ready to go, turned the heat on, and their power went out. Total blackout. And so City Utilities loads them up on buses, gives Jeff Steele a call, and says, by any chance, does Remington's have his power back on? And we did. And so Jeff said, bring them on over. And so over this entire floor, and Sarah and I, we actually moved into the green room before we had kids. We were living in there, and Jeff was sleeping on his couch in his office, and Joy was still doing her shows, I think. I mean, I think they pretty much light up candles and do shows. I mean, if they have power or not. But go to the Bald Numbers. There's my plug. Okay, so we moved in here, tons of different cots all over the place, man, and it was just, it was community. I mean, you had people that were wealthy, people that didn't have anything, and we were all living together. You know, I hope this doesn't turn you off from our church, but we had American Idol on the TV screens because that's what everybody wanted to watch. Don't clap for it. Don't clap for it. That's wrong. But no, it was an awesome, awesome, incredible time. And I'll never forget one of the greatest things that impacted me. Well, I mean, one of the million, but the greatest thing that impacted me was when Governor Matt Blunt at that time, we were providing that shelter and everything, and he gives Jeff Steele a call. And this is what's amazing. He says, whatever you need, I'll get it there for you. And we asked for a generator. And I mean, it took an hour, maybe 2 hours at the max. No one could buy generators. No one could find generators. 2 hours at the max, there's a semi-truck with a generator on the back of it that pulls up to the back, hooks up the power, and anything else you need, we'll cover it. You know, I mean, just now that's kind of something, folks. I just want to let you know. I don't know how he found out your number, but the government knows everything, I'm sure. But he called and it was done. And I just thought, man, people are going to start watching this facility and how it handles. catastrophes and natural disasters and things that go wrong. And what's interesting is on the Red Cross, at least the Red Cross side, we're one of the first people they call. That's really amazing. I think that's what delights me.
And Jeff, I turn the same question to you. You've put as much into this facility as any one person. But out of all of that, pull out one story. Pull out one story that just kind of captures the heart of what God meant for good here in this facility.
Man, it's so hard. You know, the one that keeps coming back to me, it's kind of interesting because we actually had a military group that had been deployed that came home. And the North Wall was an American flag, the entire North Wall, floor to ceiling. I mean, you can't picture it big enough. It was like that movie Patton with George C. Scott. You know, I mean, the whole thing was just an amazing portrait. And there was they walked in and their families were all here, and there were Boy Scout troops here, and they were all carrying American flags, and there were flags all the way up the property, and it was this incredible visual, and there were children outside with signs that said, "Welcome home, Dad," and "Welcome home, Uncle," and there were parents that were crying saying, "Welcome home, son or daughter," and it was an amazing experience. And oddly enough, one of the most painful experiences we had just happened this year, because another troop was deployed and they left from here. And as hard as the ice storm was, I can tell you that the most emotional time that I've ever had in this building was watching mothers and husbands and wives and children saying goodbye to loved ones that were leaving to go onto foreign soil. But the cool thing was that commanding officer that day, we stood up here and we talked after the service was over, and he thanked me and said, "You know, you're a great American." And I was like, "You're out of your mind. You know, this is so, what a privilege to serve. What an incredible privilege." But here's the amazing thing. We've got a date because they're coming back. And when they come back, that restoration is going to happen here. The family units are going to be restored here in this room. And that matters to me because I don't want those families to think of this building as the place where the fragmenting took place. I want it to be the place where restoration took place. And so whenever you ask me what's the most incredible thing that's happened, I would say the most incredible thing that's happened has yet to come, because we're going to see something happen that truly, truly reflects exactly what the kingdom of God is, because some of those children literally will be the first time they get to see their father. Some of those wives were bearing a child that wasn't born yet, and they're going to be born while they're gone. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, don't we have that? We have a daddy who loves us, and we're going to see him. And we've got an appointment for the military to come.
I like that story. And this morning, as I was greeting people at the door, one of our mothers came by and said, "My son is safely home from Afghanistan." So we celebrate with you, Mama. We do. Yes. What Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. Let me tell you two quick stories that touched my heart. One of them happened on the parking lot. We had been blessed. People had given their life to Jesus, both on the Ridgecrest campus and here at Remington's. And we put three stock tanks out in the parking lot. How many of you were here that day? Raise your hand. Yeah. Three stock tanks out there. Three of those of us who were serving as pastors ready. And we began to baptize. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. I'm the last one, number 16, baptized, raised to walk in newness of life. And a hand tapped me on the shoulder. And I turned around, and a tall, good-looking young man, well-dressed, said, "Can I get in on this?" I said, "If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior," he said, "I have." I said, "Come on." He kicked his shoes off. He climbed in the water, put him under the water, brought him up. The water scattered across the parking lot. And that was one of the moments. And then I read where a young lady said, and it was a young lady who herself had been assaulted on this property, who said these words: "When I saw that water run across the parking lot, I received my healing." Healing. Satan meant it for evil. God meant it for good. And then I will have to say, for me, some of my most powerful memories are standing out in snow and sleet and rain, people in the tent, cars pulling in, moms, little kids in the back, sometimes a couple, sometimes a single person, and serving with the Angel Food Ministry. And we think maybe we're going to be able to partner with another organization to do something similar. But so many of you, and so many on our leadership team, I got to be out front, and I got to pray with people, and I got to encourage them. And we did our best to exponentially exceed their expectations. We call it E3, and I think that we did. But to see our people, and to see grandmas and sons or daughters and grandchildren, three generations serving at the same time under the same tent. Now, we don't have time. How are we doing? We've got 5 minutes, and we've got to get Andy to the future on this in the last of the text. But I want to tell you something. When we begin to add to that, raising $50,000 in one day here for Victory Mission, when we begin to add to that the GED graduation that we have hosted now, where these young people, many, the first one in their family to get a diploma would come, the Division of Youth Services that have partnered with us and us with them, the Friends of the Library, the Just Between Friends sale, and then what's coming up right around the corner, KTTS Christmas Crusade. How many years for us?
This is the 8th. That was the first client that we had, and they're in the back room right now.
Absolutely. The first was KTTS Christmas Crusade. Here's what I'm saying, friends. Listen to me. You had a heart to do what others were not doing. And because you've done what others were not doing, we have reached some people that others were not reaching. I'll leave you with this story. My good friend John Marshall told me this one day. He said, Hosey, he said, if you've not done anything else for the churches in this community, you've done this. Now their pastors can say, I may be crazy, but at least I'm not Hosey Blue that bought a bar. But I want to tell you something. I am proud of you, and it gave us a voice that continues in this community. Now look back at the text, because we're not through. We started with the fact that Satan meant it for evil. That's number one. But then we moved to God meant it for good. He has good intentions. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to do you good and not evil. Plans to prosper you and give you a hope. Listen, God has that plan. And then, not only does God have those intentions, but there's a future. Andy, speak to the future, my brother.
So the next part of that verse that I love is, he brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. And none of us could have understood what God had in store for Remington's. So now what? All right, we're 8 years into this thing, and we've had amazing experiences. We're sharing these things on the stage, and Jeff made such a great comment that the best is still ahead. But guys, I want to let you know something. As we look back on the history of Remington's and see, God, what were you thinking? What did you have in your mind? Honestly, I mean, we have these conversations. I hope you guys know that pastors are human. We get into rooms together and start discussing what God is doing, and we sometimes look at each other and go, I have no earthly idea. Right? And then this church gets so excited about Remington's, and you faithfully give to it to the point where it's paid off in record-breaking time. When I look at Remington's, I see an iceberg, and I see the tip of the iceberg right now, and that's where we're at Remington's. Because for 8 years, we've worked creating kind of a culture here that many businesses and organizations have never seen before and are falling in love with. Here's the thing, is that when you're running a business, the bottom line is that you want to make a dollar. You want to make money. Any good business person is going to make money, right? Come on, Baptist, we can say right, right? I mean, you want to, that's the deal. So when we have businesses come in here and they have this opportunity to where they make more money than they ever dreamed possible, that happens here at Remington's, because I believe God's good hand is upon it. What happens is those people who don't give God the time of day, all of a sudden start going, you've made for us over $1 million. Now, what exactly do you believe? See, it cost us $1 million to be able to tell them about Jesus. But what's so awesome is God didn't take a penny of it out of our church. God is funding us to tell people about Jesus Christ. And this is the tip of the iceberg, this relationship that has been set up. Now, here's what happens next. We can do everything that Jesus wants in the church right here. Right here in this facility. You want to talk about redeeming Remingtons? This is what redemption is all about. When Jesus didn't say, come to me at the church, but Jesus said, I go to them. I go out to them. He goes and talks to them. He goes and hangs out with them. And honestly, the only way that a Baptist preacher could ever spend time in a bar is to buy one. And so that's exactly what the plan is. And so now that we have it, we're able to use it for the glory of God. And I want to just tell you in my heart, we are getting ready for a future that is going to be so amazingly bright. But we want your dreams to be able to understand what Remington's is going to be. God is going to reveal to you some of the bottom parts of this iceberg. And so at noon today, there is an email address that goes live at noon today. It's called dream@ridgecrestbaptist.org. dream@ridgecrestbaptist.org. And we want you to send all your ideas to that email address. So I would ask that you, the church, start dreaming what God wants to have happen in this place, because we have seen hundreds of people come to know Christ in this place that never stepped foot inside of Ridgecrest. And you know what's so awesome about you guys? Is that you're okay with that. I love that about this church. All the people I rub shoulders with over here from Ridgecrest that work in this building are like, it's fine. If they never step foot in there, they get into some other church, that's absolutely fine by me as long as they're in the kingdom. Man, it's awesome to be at a healthy church. So I would ask you to dream a dream. Go to dream@ridgecrestbaptist.org, submit that email, and let's start dreaming this dream together. Man, aren't you excited about Remington's in the future? I am. Let's stand together and worship the Lord.